You know what's so weird? Picel is dead, but we don't act like he's dead because there hasn't been actually any reaction. Like, there's been no active result, obviously, because the book's not out yet.
I mean, I...
Yeah, if you ask me if Kevin Lannister is dead, I would say no.
Yeah, right?
Mm.
Yeah. No, the Kevin Lannister, he made an impact on me, but, I mean, Picel, I've forgotten completely because I don't really care about Picel. He literally
I kind of feel bad for Picel. This is getting off topic, but yeah.
Welcome to the Vassals of King's Graves, long-running review of The World of Ice and Fire by George R. R. Martin. This time we'll be talking Targaryens again, starting with a review of the chapter concerning Viserys I, and hopefully going all the way through to Baelor I, or Baelor the Blessed as he's called. If you are a reoccurring listener, you will already know that the podcast is dark and full of spoilers, which means that we will probably contain spoilers for both The Song of Ice and Fire by George R. R. Martin and the Hedge Knight series also by George R. R. Martin. But in this specific case, we might not have any spoilers for the HBO series A Game of Thrones. And now you're warned and can proceed at your own peril. So, welcome. My name is Patrick, Patrick the Tall on the forums, and I'm joined here today by Joanna.
Hello, this is Joanna, or Joe13 on the forum.
And Michael?
Hey, what's up? I go as Carl Wadegi on the forums.
We have Michal.
Hi, I'm Inkezrain on the forums, and I always get confused when there's an actual Michael around, because people usually just call me that, so.
And we have Nadia?
Hi everyone, this is Nadia.
Yeah, okay. And Tanya?
Hi, I'm Silence on the forums.
Yes, well, let's start with, just summing up what happened at the last podcast about Targaryens, because it's been a while, and, maybe our listeners can't remember everything we talked about, but we went from Aegon the First to Jaehaerys the First, or the Old King. Yeah, and now we're here with his grandson, because, as we'll get into, he succeeded his father in becoming king because his father died before he could become king or something like that. But yeah, essentially, let's just start with the... Do anyone want to start with a lemon cake for Viserys the First?
I'll give him... I don't think of him too fondly. I'll give him maybe a 1.5. His reign was all right, but... You can see, it says here, he was sowing the seeds for the Dance of Dragons, and yeah, he made so many mistakes that would compound and cause a colossal fuck-up that, yeah, even though his reign was great, he fucked over the Targaryens pretty well.
Yeah, he's one of those kings that, like, you can only kind of tell how bad of a king he was in retrospect, you know? Like, during the reign, people were probably like, oh, this is totally fine, you know? Like, sort of like Robert, and then you realize later with, like, the impact of everything that happened, just how bad they were. So, I'd probably give him, like, 2 lemon cakes.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe even less. I mean, I totally blame him for the Dance of the Dragons.
Mm.
He totally set the stage for that. Not being able to solve the problems between his own children. I mean, he was really bad at that.
He kind of created them, actually.
Yeah.
I pretty much agree with what people have been saying. I would maybe say 2 lemon cakes, not to be too harsh, because I guess his reign was okay. I guess it's really just the consequences of
he gets one for effort.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, I'm thinking. I guess I always more or less grade them upon how interesting they make the story. I would say Viserys himself, not so interesting, but his
the consequence of his inaction and his pig-headedness almost makes for the most interesting part of the Targaryen rule, the Dance of the Dragons, right after. So I would give him, just because of you know, entertainment value, I would give it like 3.5, yeah, 3.5 lemon cakes. As I've said with Jaehaerys, it was boring. So this, at least Viserys gave us the Dance of the Dragons. Okay, well, short summary of Viserys' reign goes a little bit like this. He reigned from 103 AC to 129 AC. His alias was the Young King, and his father was Balin, not of any number, because he died before. He was the fifth Targaryen King of the Kingdom, and he was chosen over his cousin by a great council, where they chose for him to succeed his grandfather, even though she had a better claim. So the precedence for a male heir taking the rule in front of a female heir was established there. He was a dragon rider. He rode Beleriand until the dragon died of old age. And he had two wives. First, Aemma Arryn, depending on how you pronounce it. And he sired one daughter named Rhaenyra, whom we will hear a little about later. And later on, when Aemma died, he wed the young Alicent Hightower, and she gave him four children: Aegon, Helaena, Aemond, and Daeron. So, yeah, as we said, there was a few problems that started in his rule. First of all, his brother, Daemon. Well, if you read the Rogue story and The Princess and the Queen, you would pretty quickly conclude that he was not the good guy.
He was such a rogue. He was just too roguish.
Yeah. Are we still on, like, in agreement that it was kind of malplaced, this Daemon in the Rogues anthology? I mean,
oh yeah.
He just, if there was like a douchebag anthology, you might have that one, and he might be the a shoo in for that one. Which one?
The Creepy Uncle anthology.
Yeah, Creepy Uncle.
Baby killer.
So yeah, do you have anything about him other than that? Like, do you feel Viserys was right in saying that Rhaenyra should be the lawful queen? Let's start with you.
So yeah, I'm even more torn since when I made the Black and the Green podcast, because you know, while I think, you know, gender equality, there's no inherent problem with a woman ruler. The fact that the Great Council had just said we want a male ruler, it's kind of a slap in the face for Viserys to say, oh yeah, I'm going against all you said and appointing a female. Yeah, so it's kind of a bit of an insult right from the start to, yeah.
On that.
Well, had Aegon been born yet at the first time he did that?
No.
Right, so he's in a really weird, like, position, right? Because he, like, made everybody swear, and, like, it was this whole big thing. And basically he was an idiot for getting remarried. You know, because, like, yeah.
But have you seen the pictures of Alicent? She hot, man.
Well, this would have been even more complicated if they'd been illegitimate, maybe. But, like, I don't know. I understand why he did it the first time. And he was like, I want all of your word that, like, my line is going to continue, and you're not going to just appoint a random, like, man.
Mm.
But then once Aegon exists, that puts him in a weird position of, like, going back on that. But the thing is, he needed to make a firm decision. And I mean, I guess he did technically, but it was a decision that nobody was happy with except for Rhaenyra.
Yeah.
Maybe he should have changed his choice as soon as he had his son. Wouldn't have been so much of a problem. Yeah.
Rhaenyra will be my heir until a son is born.
or marry Rhaenyra to Aegon, or yeah, many, many things he could have done.
Yeah, there was a lot of.
Well, they definitely should have married Rhaenyra to Aegon. That's not a question.
Yeah, I'm thinking in that situation that it wouldn't have been a happy marriage, at least.
Of course, it wouldn't have, but like. You know? I mean...
The realms would be
happy. She was a lot older. They would have to be married for a long time until they could even have kids. Even if he was like a young teen at the time.
Yeah, he was.
It was 8 years difference. So, I mean, yeah. you just need to wait till Aegon gets to 12 and then, you know, he's ready. He's ready to have some kids.
Oh, damn. You make it sound so sexy.
I noticed that, like, they always liked having the elder male to marry the younger female. That seems to be the way it goes. But, like, it really should be the other way around, because you want the female to be, you know, 15, 16 at least, because that's when you're going to have less complications. And really, you just need the guy to be 13, 14, and, you know, he can have kids no problem.
Yeah.
They don't always have a younger sister.
In the like real history, it also happened a lot of times. Especially, it was more like if you're one of your relatives, your uncle died and he left himself a widow, you could arrange that you would marry the widow instead after your uncle died or something like that. It's happened several times. So I'm thinking in real history that certainly happened. But yeah, In Westeros history, it doesn't seem like it happens that often.
But didn't Aegon marry Visenya? He was supposed to only marry Visenya, right? She was his older sister.
Hmm. But then he chose to...
She was the first daughter and he was the first son, so they were supposed to marry each other.
Yeah.
They said it was the Valyrian custom to the oldest son marry the oldest daughter, I think.
If they had been immediate blood siblings, they probably would have gotten married. So I think the only reason they didn't was, I don't know, maybe Alicent.
Yeah, I think Alicent.
I think it was the age. Well, no, Alicent wanted them to get married because she was like all thinking about Aegon. I think it was the age difference and also the fact that they did not get along.
No. Besides, he had a sister, a full-blood sister he could marry, so...
The only reason brother married sister was to keep the bloodlines pure and keep the crown in the same line. You're not gaining that unless Aegon is king when you marry him to Elena.
No, I know. It's just like a bad joke.
this whole thing is a bad joke.
it really is. It's hard to discuss. What kind of incest would be the best incest?
Yeah. I'm taking that out of my, like, you know, like when I said, like, oh yeah, they absolutely should have married each other. I had like this weird moment of like dissonance, but it's like, I guess you just have to follow the rules of this particular weird situation.
Yes, so when in King's Landing, do as the Targaryens or
yeah.
I certainly agree that there were other solutions to this problem, this conundrum, but he chose to let her almost what she wanted until he forced her to marry a Valyrian, which was kind of felt like he couldn't really decide on what to do. I mean, first he was like, really, you're my heir and you need to do this and this and this, but you should do whatever you want. Anyways, and then he goes out and forces her to marry a person that is clearly not interested in her sex, just to keep the peace between them. He could have done that earlier, just with Aegon probably, and that would have been more effective, maybe. Unless you account that the Sea Snake was more powerful at that point than the Hightowers.
Yeah, again, this is another mistake that Viserys made when he chose to marry Alicent instead of Laena Valyrian.
Mm.
And I have a feeling that if he had married Laena Valyrian, and the Valyrians are a lot closer to the Targaryen dynasty, if they had had children, they wouldn't have been usurpers, like, because they were like, oh, we're all cousins and stuff.
So, Yeah.
Another mistake he made, Viserys.
Yeah, but it makes for good reading.
Yeah. Yeah, no, George had to kill the dragons, so this has to happen, but yeah.
I saw someone saying online that maybe the reason he didn't want to marry Laena was because of her age, and that made it really likely that she would die in childbirth. Because if you notice the date, his first wife married him when she was really young.
Well, you can wait 2 or 3 years. Like, you don't have to, well, you can consummate the marriage, but, like, spill the seed on the belly. And then just wait 3 years.
Stars only seem to marry really young, if you notice, in the world of Ice and Fire.
It's not like Viserys was after an heir, right? He's already declared his daughter to be heir. So it doesn't matter if he has kids right away.
No, and I think also that he might not have actually been looking for another wife. The wife sort of just came to him, in a sense. Alicent was pretty forceful, it would seem. Like, she was there and took care of him all the time. So that makes sense that if he wasn't really looking for one, because he already had an heir and he definitely loved Aemma, so he probably wouldn't even have found it possible or interesting to find a new wife.
That he would have pressure to have a male heir problem.
Maybe, maybe not. If he already got the whole realm to like swear to Rhaenyra, then why would he want a male heir?
Not him specifically, but all the lords and such in the realm probably would push for a...
Yeah, he might have recognized that it would be easier to get people to accept a male heir.
Then he just kept on with Rhaenyra as his heir, even though he got male heirs. Yeah, I don't
know. The problem a lot of these things, a lot of inheritance issues were solved by precedence, right?
Yeah.
And there was never any precedence of a sister inheriting when a brother existed.
No, exactly. That's the main problem.
Yeah, both the great councils happened because... the decision lay between an uncle and a niece or two cousins or something like that. But this was a clear case where there was a brother and then there was a sister, and he decided that the sister was going to inherit, which is the recipe for disaster.
Okay, so we pretty much agree that Viserys didn't do a particularly good job. He sort of just managed the realm after his grandfather's success, and it's, his complacency and unwillingness to change his mind ended up in creating the worst disaster for the Targaryen house since the Doom of Valyria, essentially. So, people of interest in this part. We have Criston Cole, which was...
Ooh, hiss.
Yeah. Yay or nay?
Hey.
Nay.
So much nay.
Yeah.
Nay.
Is anyone going to say yay?
Nope.
I mean, I liked how he got, like, scorned and became, like, the evil knight, the Black Knight, or something like that. Or maybe not the Black Knight, but the evil knight. It's kind of interesting. It's kind of entertaining. But other than that, no, he's just a big whiny baby with a sword. Otto Hightower? Yay or nay?
Nay.
Nay. He was a schemer. He wanted Alicent in beds with Viserys.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of feels weird in our contemporary state of mind to like push that with your daughter. Yeah, I don't know. So, how about Corlys Velaryon or the Sea Snake?
Yay.
Yay.
He was cool.
Yeah, he was kind of cool, right? I agree. I think we pretty much agree on most of these. Now we come to the more obscure ones. Mushroom, yay or nay?
Yay, Mushroom was cool. He made interesting stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He's so weird.
Yes, but in a good way.
Yes, but yay.
Okay, so Harwin Strong, you know, the big guy.
Yeah, the father of Rhaenyra's children.
The alleged father.
No, he was clearly the father.
Yes, he was definitely their father.
Yeah.
Or so they say.
Cool.
Yeah.
Even though his kids came out kind of bloodthirsty, but I mean, whatever. They're Targaryens, so.
Yeah, I think the others was just as bad.
Yeah.
I don't think that Aemond was better. I think he actually was the worst of them after he lost his eye. Harwin Strong. have you heard my strong seed is strong theory? That essentially Harwin Strong is the ancestor of Duncan the Tall, and thereby also Hodor and Brienne, because Harwin was known to be a bit lecherous, and he frequented the whorehouses in Fleabottom, it specifically says, and. Well, 50 years after or something like that, Duncan comes out of Fleabottom. So maybe he'd be like the grandfather of Duncan the Tall.
So all the tall people are related.
So yeah. Exactly.
Except for the Clegane. They're just related to each other.
That's Martin genetics right there.
But then Dank would be cursed because the Strong has Harrenhal.
Yeah, well, they don't own Harrenhal anymore, so they're not cursed anymore. That's how I think
well,
it is.
The line died out, supposedly. So.
There's enough degrees of separation for Dunk not to be cursed.
Yeah. Well, he grew
up in Fleabottom, so.
Yeah, exactly. I was just saying that he grew up in Fleabottom. That should be a curse enough. Larys Strong or Larys Clumpfoot? Yeah or nay?
Nay. Because it seems like he was the one who started the fire that killed Harwin Strong. He seems the most likely contender. And then he was playing both sides of the blacks and greens. So yeah, I'm glad he got executed for that.
He chose execution, actually.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Instead of going to the wall. So.
Yeah, that's a sane decision.
Well, I don't know. It's pretty cold.
He didn't want to have to walk up there with his club foot.
Yeah.
Like 1,000 league.
Yes, he's probably thinking, what am I going to do up there? Seriously, I'm just going to be like...
You can read.
Sure, maybe, yeah. That might be the only thing he could do.
He also, he's just suddenly reminding me of sort of a Thomas Cromwell type of figure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, less like official, because... Cromwell was, well, I don't know, he was kind of official.
Mm.
Yeah, he was on the small council.
Yeah, and then he ends up getting executed.
Is this real history we're talking about? I have no idea.
Yeah. Thomas Cromwell, as in he was Henry VIII's what? He was
one of his closest advisors eventually.
Yeah, but then he was the Lord Chancellor eventually after Thomas More was executed.
Right,
so
yeah.
Yeah.
And he basically arranged the marriage to Anne Boleyn.
Yeah, and then also arranged her execution.
Exactly. Yeah, they worked together and schemed together to get the divorce thing legal, and then that ended up not working out so well. But then he ended up getting executed because the wife, two wives later, Henry decided that he hated. So he was I'm just going to kill you.
Yeah, I think after Anne of Cleves, who Henry particularly hated, he decided.
Yeah. Who got really lucky, by the way, in not being executed. But then I guess maybe the Germans would have been really pissed off at that.
And we don't want to piss off the Germans.
Go into angry German mode very quickly, and that's a very...
Right.
So, yeah, just a quick note, side note. Do you also, when you read that somebody is dashing and daring, complete the sentence with courageous and caring? Or is it just me? Okay,
just
so nobody watched the gummy bears.
In German, I watched it in German, so it doesn't
okay.
Really work.
So, but I just read about Daemon, which is actually fills most of the Viserys chapter is actually just about Daemon, but they then describe him to be dashing and daring. And dangerous, but the first time I saw dashing and daring, I just thought. And courageous and caring.
So is the crackpot theory of the day that he's a gummy bear?
The real gummy bear.
Yeah, the gummy bears are actually, they live in Westeros.
That explains
sense.
Everything.
Yes, it does. That's a new one.
We need to have better crackpot theories in the reread podcast.
Yeah. Well, we can just go on then. If nobody likes my crackpot theory, then...
No, I love it. It's brilliant.
Okay, fine. Perfect. Thank you. You're so nice. Okay, well, then let's go on to Aegon II then. His reign was from 129 AC to 131 AC. And he Yeah, he was known as the Elder and the Usurper. Well, yeah, Aegon II was the sixth Targaryen king to sit the throne, succeeding his father, Viserys I. His ascent was disputed by his half-sister, Rhaenyra Targaryen, who had been, as we've talked about, has been his designated heir. Aegon and Rhaenyra fought for the throne in a civil war, has been known as the Dance of the Dragons, in which both perished. Almost everybody dies. After executing
him. Oh no, spoilers!
Yeah. but after executing his pretender half-sister, he was beset on all sides, and refusing to surrender, he was probably poisoned by his own supporters. Yay! Everybody dies. And he dies, especially.
Saddening exactly no one.
So
he wasn't exactly living a happy life at the time.
No,
he was in a lot of pain.
He was broken there in more than one way. But it would seem that even though both sides seemed to be winning battles, both were losing in the war in the end.
Any war that goes on that long, both sides are basically going to lose, especially if they're fighting over the same territory, right? Yeah. It's like sort of like the American Civil War. It was such a clusterfuck. And, like, yeah, like, the North obviously won, but it was, like, you know, I mean, the death toll is still one of the highest in any American conflict. And
it wasn't like Abraham Lincoln went down to the South and just dropped the mic, say, peace.
He tried a few times.
But yeah, no, he was pretty humble about the victory in the end. He wrote Sunfire, which got pretty badly burned in one of the fights and essentially died right when he was about to take the throne. So, lemon cakes about Aegon then.
More importantly, he had three children who all died horrible, horrible deaths.
Oh yeah.
And a sister wife who died a horrible, horrible death.
Yeah, yes. But she went crazy, right? That was she went crazy.
Yeah, that was even more horrible.
He killed her son in front of her.
Yeah, that'll kill anyone. That'll drive anyone crazy.
Yeah, it wasn't a nice story for them.
And then they think that she might have been murdered, even though I have no idea why.
No, I think she just committed suicide, as did her daughter. And then their youngest son was torn apart, which is the first we heard of it in this book.
Thanks, George. I really like that little addition to this.
We're told that he dies, but in the Dance of the Dragons, but not how, and we get it in this book.
You get to that part in the world.
I wish we hadn't. But
so, not good.
The best thing I can say is that he wasn't as cruel as his brother Aemond.
Yeah, that's right. Aemon, I'm pretty happy that Aemon didn't survive to become king. I mean, that would have been horrible.
Well, between Aemond and Daemon, it would be pretty bad if any of them became king.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, of course, his children died, and that is essentially why his cousin becomes his heir in the end. But lemon cakes. Do you have any lemon cakes for Aegon?
Give him one, I think. Like, he had the opportunity to end the war right when it started. Like, Alicent was like, oh, you should be king. And he was like, yeah, okay, I'll be king. And I'm like, no, just say no. Like, he didn't want to be king. And
technically, he did say no once. He said, the throne is my sister's. But then
he was convinced. Well, that's according to
the septum.
I think the septum was a lick spittle.
I think that's what septum used to say, not what Aegon said.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's reliable, but in any case, yeah, he could have declined the throne, but he didn't.
Maybe Alicent would then get Aemon to become king, and he would accept him instead of Aemon.
Oh, but that's an even flimsier claim to go for the second son. And
well, she had a lot of ambition for her family and plenty of sons. So.
Yeah, I mean, I guess No, I just don't see how this could have been different unless Aegon just declined it, because he was like the only one, in my opinion, that could have that was legitimately a challenger to Rhaenyra, because he was the first son. Like with Viserys, it was
unless a male heir always precedes a female heir.
Yeah, but that's, I don't know, but that's never been decided upon. It's just been decided about between the two main contestants.
Actually, I think you could extrapolate that quite easily. Because Aegon was so much younger, right? If a brother always goes before a sister,
then Aemon and then Daeron?
Yeah.
Maybe one of Aemon's sons. They could have bypassed him if he didn't win.
Yeah, you might be right.
So it's a good thing they died, because this war would have gone on for a lot longer.
Yeah.
Or maybe not, just because everybody was so strung out by that point, but...
Yeah, you'd have a Hightower rebellion instead of a Blackfyre. Okay, so anybody else? Lemon cakes on him?
Maybe one, because he wasn't Maegor or Aerys, but he was pretty bad.
Yeah, I agree with that. One, not so great.
I'd give him one stale lemon cake. Like, it's gross, but it won't kill you.
Okay. I guess I feel bad for him in some senses. I mean, for all accounts, he loved his sister. His wife.
They didn't they find him in a prostitute's bed at one point?
Yeah, but then again, that doesn't mean in that specific time and time period that you didn't love your wife anyways.
Mm. No, but I think that the way Helena has a line that's I don't know where he is. He doesn't come to my bed anymore.
Yeah, okay.
You can look in my bed and you're not going to find him.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. I'm just,
sorry to bust your bubble. I just think this guy is...
You think he's crazy?
He's just a benign asshole.
Okay. He dislikes women.
He's an example of the Targaryens just being toxic, which is that, even in this case where they're not necessarily crazy, they just, and it's the same thing with Rhaenyra. They have such an obsessive power lust that it's really, incredibly dangerous to give them power, much less basically nuclear power like they have in the dragons.
Yeah, and that might be why the maesters... or at least thought to have been the instigators behind the Dance of the Dragons and trying to kill off the dragons.
I don't actually buy that.
It's a theory, and it's actually stated on the wiki that the Maesters might have had a finger in it. So at least it's people think it might be a thing. Yeah. So I think he gets. He still gets a 2. I mean, he's not that bad. Yes, the whole war is bad, but that doesn't necessarily completely reflect on him. It reflects on the whole situation and how nobody is flexible in this. And yeah, everybody sucks. Not just Aegon.
Yeah, but then he wanted to cut off his nephew's ear after the war. What a nice guy, really.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he was off the deep end at that point. I mean, he was presumed dead. He's been almost dying for half a year, and then I think at that point he might not have been playing with a full set of tiles. But yeah,
he couldn't have when he executed Rhaenyra, he couldn't have sent Aegon away.
Yeah,
for a minute,
I mean, that depends on if you think that he suspected her in being the one who ordered his children killed. I mean, I could have been really, really vengeful if I knew that if I thought that my cousin might have murdered my children like that.
Well, he doesn't seem to have been vengeful on that.
Are you sure? I mean, that doesn't say.
We don't really get any lines from him or anything. So no, we
thinking. Yeah.
One might think that he could have been upset about the loss of his children.
Yeah. And I think Sunfire eating Rhaenyra was like a spur of the moment decision. So it wasn't like he decided this was what he was going to do.
No.
Well,
okay, fine. Give him the benefit of the doubt.
I'm saying he might be crazy, or he might just be vengeful. But I don't think he's the worst of the bunch.
But it shows you like that the impact of small, like quote unquote small decisions, right? Because the fact that obviously the Dance with Dragons decimated the dragons too, but Aegon definitely didn't help the matter.
No.
And that was in a very large part because of what he witnessed.
So we talked a little about Aemon. He, in my opinion at least, he's not a good guy. And he's probably the worst of the bunch. But we also have other people of interest in this story, this part. Baela Targaryen, whom I think is a pretty badass.
Badass character. Yeah. One of my favorites.
Yeah.
Even though she has such a small part.
Yeah. And ironically, Daemon's daughter, right?
Yes. And another little bit of information that we didn't get before was that when Kraegon Stark was handing out all the punishments, it was Baela and Rhaena Targaryen who sort of forced Aegon, who was their younger brother, half-brother, they sort of forced him into forgiving Corlys Velaryon, who was their grandfather.
Yeah, that's...
So they definitely held some sway over their younger brother. Which is not a bad thing, I guess.
No, definitely. The Kraegon Stark, we're going to get back to him. And the whole Hour of the Wolf is very interesting as well. But the last two people of interest I've put on is Alicent Hightower and Rhaenyra Targaryen, which is the green and the black queens. Yeah.
Do you know how Alicent died?
It was on the Song of Ice and Fire official forums, but not on the World of Ice and Fire. Elliot said she died of the winter fever that's mentioned in Aegon the Third's reign.
Yeah.
If you look, you'll find.
Oh, so she lived to watch all of her children and her grandchildren die.
Actually, make note.
Good.
That's nice.
That's,
you know, if anyone deserves that.
Maybe not Jaehaera, because she died in the same year, it's unclear. I thought of that before.
Well, tough that is. I mean, what can you say? I mean, Alison Hightower seems to me to be more a pawn than a player.
What?
In the whole look, she reminds me more of like a Marjorie Tyrell than a Queen of Thorns.
I don't think she's Queen of Thorns level because she's not that smart, and the Queen of Thorns is a lot more subtle. Yeah. Like having Joffrey murdered at his own wedding. But, I definitely think that she is, like, she's certainly not a behind-the-scenes player, but she is upfront about, I mean, she is a player, I think.
But is she, I mean, she, like, totally disappears during the Dance of the Dragons. We don't hear anything from her.
Yeah, for me, essentially, it seems like it's Lord Hightower that's essentially the instigator behind the most of the things here. Like pushing his daughter to befriend Viserys and sticking behind to lead the armies and becoming Hand of the King and whatever.
Well, I think that might be a result of this taking place so much on the battlefield. Sure. You know, if it had been more of a, like, the Queen of Thorns is so prevalent because of what's happening behind the scenes at court, like the subtleties of all that. Sure. We do have, like, she does show up again when Rhaenyra is, like, crowned and everything, you know.
Didn't she help organize the defenses of the city when Rhaenyra took over or something? I seem to recall that.
Interestingly, I was just checking the family tree of the Targaryens, and Rhaena Targaryen, who is, again, Daemon's daughter, she eventually ends up marrying a Hightower.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Maybe sort of a peace treaty kind of thing, you know, sort of settling scores between the two families.
I wish we knew how that marriage turned out, really, instead of just mentioning.
Well, she was in King's Landing when Rhaenyra took King's Landing, and she was put in gold fetters. So
for that, but maybe it's only in the text, not the wiki. So.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it seems like it doesn't say in the wiki, at least, that she did anything about with the garrison. But that's neither here nor there, anyways. Anything else to add on Aegon? and his glorious reign?
We don't really see that much of his glorious reign, to be honest. Like, he's king, then he gets taken out in that battle, and then he's like in a coma for a year. So yeah, it's really that it's a bit hard to comment on his ruling policies and all that stuff.
But it seems like he was poisoned. I mean, the book, the writer pretty much says it explicitly that he was probably poisoned.
Who do you think he would have named heir after he returned to King's Landing? His sons were dead, and then there was the precedent for the against the female claim, and he only had a daughter. And it seems that he wasn't really in a state to get married and have more kids. He was pretty much crippled, no?
I think he was probably just in denial. He was like, yeah, I'll have a wife. I'll be able to get an erection, even though I'm on Milk of the Poppy.
He wants to marry Lord Baratheon's daughter, I think. But
I don't think he lived long enough to even be able to consider what would happen afterwards.
He did consider getting married again, but I think...
Yeah, he was pretty much conceited, and at that point, I don't think he thought much about anything. He was kind of just like, no, I am king. I would say I'm pretty sure he was like stubbornly hanging on to the last thing he actually had out of this stupid war, which is his king, his crown. I mean, that would make sense that he would just say, no, I am the king. That's what I have left. You can't take that away from me either. I think he's more of a sad story than we start off thinking, actually. But that's just me having empathy for people that's pretty unlikable. Well, let's go on to Aegon III then, because right after Aegon II gets poisoned, the people that supported Aegon II before teamed up with the supporters of Rhaenyra and installed her son instead as the king. He was then known as Aegon the Younger, because there were two Aegons, of course. His reign was from 131 AC to 157 AC. He was known as Aegon the Younger, Aegon the Dragonbane, Aegon the Unlucky, and the Broken King. And in my opinion, the Emo King as well, because he could wallow in his sadness.
And he only dressed in black.
And he only dressed in black, yeah,
well,
also.
He's the one I really feel sorry for, not his uncle. He had a really tough time.
No, yeah, but he's the obvious choice to feel sad about, feel empathy for. I usually choose, like, this... like the Viserys. I feel really sorry for Viserys even before we got all that backstory about him. Because, yeah, that's just, it's just sad that some person gets to that point where they can't even see reality anymore. But that's not the point. Well, so yeah, he gets crowned and he is only 11 when he climbs the throne. So they choose to install a regency with a few different people there. I can just quickly sum up the people who at some point sat in the regency.
Page 83 of the book.
Yes, I actually noted it on the wiki, on the page as well. So we have the First Council of Seven and the people that succeeded them. The First Council of Seven was Lady Jane Arryn, Maiden of the Well, of the Vale, Lord Corlys Velaryon, freshly pardoned, Lord Roland Westling of the Crag, Lord Royce Caron of Nightsong, Lord Manfred Mouton of the Maidpool, Sir Torin Manderly of White Harbor, and Grand Mister Munken. The rest succeeded the First Council little by little, and some of them include Lord Unwin Peak, who is not a good guy, Lord Thaddeus Rowan, Sir Corwin Corbray, William Stackspear, Mark Merriweather, and Laurent Grandison. So yeah, right after Aegon II died, Lord Cregan Stark had already decided to take all the men from the north down to go to war, to fight for Rhaenyra. And I just have to say, I feel like he's pretty cool from what we hear of, about him, Lord Craegan Stark. That he just comes to the city with a big army, and they're all like, please don't hurt us. You can be hand. And he says, okay, I'll be hand. So all of you guys will either be hanged or sent to the wall. You choose. And then after that, after all the sentences have been carried out, he just says, well, I don't need to be hand anymore. See ya.
He's like, I came down here to be hand and kill some people. Yeah. I'm all out of people to kill.
So. Yeah. Yeah, he just...
I am a little curious what his motivation for all this was. Like, why did he feel so drawn to do this? Like, why did he feel like justice was his to carry out at this point?
I think sometimes, I mean, I'm not sure about this, but sometimes if you have limited resources and you see a possible reward for going on a crusade, that you might choose that and in the same time, you know, get rid of some mouths to feed. I'm not saying his motives were 100% valiant. I'm actually thinking he was kind of more a pragmatic person. But yeah, it has happened in real history as well, where you just took an army and say, well, we're going down there and it doesn't matter if we come back.
Yeah, very pragmatic. And I think when he goes to King's Landing just to kill everyone, I think he just wants to sort shit out because, like, they've had a good war and they're ready to go home now. So he's just like, you're all dying. There's going to be no more war.
Yeah.
I want to go home.
But he didn't really fight that many wars, did he? Many battles there. So I think might also just have been like, I'm going to accomplish something before I go home. I'm not going to go home empty-handed, so to say. So
is this a commentary on what Ned should have done?
Kill everyone.
Go down, kill what needs killing, and then go back to the North.
That would have been the true way of the Northmen, right?
Yeah, that's so not Ned, though.
Yeah, exactly, because he wasn't trained to be a lord.
Well, he's also a decent human being, so...
Yeah. Okay, apparently Aegon III wasn't a very happy person. He was kind of moody all the time, and he didn't really get any opportunity to produce any heirs with his cousin Jaehaera, because they married when she was 8, and she... apparently committed suicide at 10. Some say that Umkin Peak was involved. Some say the Kingsguard, who was guarding her at the point, was involved. Some say both. But yeah, that didn't help his disposition.
The story does not get better. It's like, okay, the war's over. It can't get any worse, right? Wrong!
It's a real clusterfuck. Like, yeah, so many people are now scheming to kill and kill each other, and yeah.
Which is why I think it's important to be critical of what's his face of Viserys, because like it's not, obviously nobody can see everything that's going to happen, but it's really not a stretch that this would conclude and that two different factions trying to be king would conclude in a civil war. And again, it shouldn't take that much imagination to see how, you know, that would happen. And Viserys, like, his job should have been like, look, whatever happens, make sure that there isn't a massive civil war, you know? And he just completely, he doesn't even just set the stage. He puts the wood on the thing and lights the torch and then hands it to somebody and dies.
No, he sort of just says before he goes, like, so when I'm gone, don't fight. And they say, sure, we won't. No, we won't, Father. We promise. And then right after he's dead, like, everything just goes to hell. I mean,
Aegon the Fourth is called Aegon the Unworthy because everything that he caused, you know, because of the Blackfyre Rebellion and all. But Viserys was just as bad.
Yeah.
He's not remembered as such, but he was.
But he was less of a...
He wasn't as bad a person.
Yeah.
But he did more damage.
Yeah, but, you know, didn't a lot more people die in the Dance of the Dragons?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And most of, like, his own family died.
Yeah.
And the dragons, which are the coolest.
Yeah, and...
I mean, it's completely right. You're completely right, everyone. I mean, it's Viserys wasn't, like, the best king ever. Actually, he kind of sucked. The whole situation sucked, and everyone kind of compounded the problem by being so selfish. I mean...
Nobody... Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean... This isn't solely on him, but since we're discussing this from the point of view of kingship, and if the buck stops at the king, then...
Yeah. And you can sort of say that this whole podcast, all the way until... No, yeah, all the way to Viserys the second, is in the wake of the bad decisions that were made by Viserys the first and... And Aegon and Rhaenyra.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's Viserys' legacy.
So, this Peak guy, he really seems like he's bad news.
Do you think he was really the one behind Jaehaerys' death? I can't believe it was suicide with someone so young. It's just...
No, I'm not sure he was behind that, but he just seems power-hungry and after a lot of land. I mean, he ends up at the point where he's... hand. He already owns 3 castles.
He did want to marry his daughter to Aemon.
Yeah, he wanted.
Yeah, he's super ambitious.
He's really ambitious, and right after she dies, the wife dies. He kind of broaches the opportunity for him to wed his own daughter, and it seems conspicuous.
Yeah, is this and we have... the same Peak who is like. I guess he would be an ancestor of one of the Peaks in the Mystery Knight.
Gorman Peak, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the Peaks in general, they're a family of assholes, it seems.
Yeah.
And actually, when you look at their history, they were the ones that got the Manderley Castle when the Manderleys went to the north. So that's one of their 3 castles. So they're ladder climbers, if that makes sense.
And later, they killed Micah in that uprising later on.
Yeah, they're storming Starpike, and King Micah gets crushed by a rock. So yeah. Peaks, you're all assholes.
Yeah. But we also have William Stackspear. Do we think it's an Easter egg for Shakespeare or something like that?
Oh, it's gotta be. Like, when you look at the rest of these regents, I recognize all the names except for him. So, yeah.
I feel like George has got to be running out of names. I feel like that might have been more behind the elbow and whatever thing than an actual, like, oh, I'm going to make a funny connection between the Tullys and Sesame Street. I think it was more just like, have no more names. Okay.
You know, there's a Shakespeare family mentioned a couple of times, too.
Yeah.
So you've just made the reference. So taking advantage of them.
There's a definite tone of like, oh, this was really not good. Like, this was a really bad time, like, the regencies were terrible and blah, 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 but very little detail on that.
Yeah, I feel like when Fire and Blood comes out, they're going to go into much more detail about who each of these regents were, how they all died, who was killing who. Yes. Yeah.
It's funny because it doesn't come up, like, it isn't, the idea isn't raised, like, for example, nobody talks about who Viserys' regents would have been, and like our Viserys, and like how, oh, can't do that, or like when Joffrey was king, like, you know, they weren't like, hey, we've had a bad regency in the past, let's make sure we don't fuck this one up.
Well, it is 150 years ago.
Yeah, but
and most of the people who are in the small council don't care about it. I mean, it's only like Maester. Oh, wait, I can't even remember what the maester is called. Grandmaester Pycelle.
Pycelle?
Yeah.
Yeah, only the maesters read the history books, so, like, everyone else has forgotten about this, and it's like, yeah, let's have a regency.
Yeah, they don't even know...
That sounds like a good idea.
They don't even know where Maegert's teats come from, that it's actually from this era.
True.
What do you think of Aegon?
Aegon?
Yeah, I feel bad for this one. I think he...
Yeah.
I think this is a guy who's, like, who... If his trauma had, like, turned him into an evil person, then he would have been a more complicated character. But he is really just a guy who is scarred by childhood trauma and basically lives the rest of his life scarred by childhood trauma, not really doing anything about it except in regard to the dragons, which...
I have conflicting views on Aegon because, like, he seemed to do a decent job of ruling and, you know, keeping the peace. He has the speech where he's like, I will give the small folk bread and circuses and that will be all. So, yeah, he does a good job of ruling. Good is sort of in quotes. But, like, 20 years after his mother's died and he's still depressed as fuck and, like... I don't know, how long do you give someone leeway to get over things, seeing your mum died by a dragon?
Yeah.
But this is like childhood trauma, right?
Yeah, and
that
plus
stuff stays with you.
Yeah, and he didn't have a shrink or anything like that. I mean,
yeah,
I can't.
You just don't get past it.
Yeah, plus...
It's not like he had therapy in Westeros, right? He couldn't get over it. That's nice.
He probably has survivor's guilt as well.
And then his wife kills herself randomly. And, I mean,
yeah.
He was probably really terrified for his life throughout the Regency, right?
Wasn't just that. Wasn't he... So didn't somebody try to poison him? And his best friend, who was also his taste tester, died from that poison?
Yeah.
this is
got a really tough life.
Yeah. It's okay that he's a bit wallowy, but yeah.
But then after that, he gets presented 1,000 maids. So he can marry one, and then he chooses like the last one who his sisters want him to choose.
Yeah.
Again, like, this is the type of guy who in another Targaryen would have started another war or something, you know, but because he doesn't have, like, ironically, like, the Targaryens who have the least historical impact are most likely to be the good ones.
Mm.
So
because they don't fuck things up.
Exactly.
They're totally boring.
I'm gonna stay right here, and
yeah, and I would give him a few more lemon cakes just because he is. I mean, even though he doesn't do very much, his reign is still kind of interesting and sad. Definitely very sad. Everything that happens to him and his friends, and the only good thing that happens to him essentially is when he finds out that his brother Viserys is actually alive, and he's ransomed back to them. That seems to be a good thing for them, because Viserys mm-hmm. then turns out to be a pretty capable hand of the king. So yeah, you just mentioned that he also had a dragon when he was a child, called Stormcloud. But that Stormcloud and last dragons alive all died under his reign. So that's why he's called Aegon the Dragonbane. He even tried to call 9 mages from around the world to to revive a clutch of eggs that hadn't hatched. But it didn't work. So he is forever known as Aegon the Dragonbane. Or Aegon the Unlucky. Which also fits. He gets a second wife also. We forgot to mention that, and by her, she gives him 2 sons and 3 daughters, very very beautiful daughters. So he finally managed to like become intimate with somebody, even though he according to the story is even afraid to be touched by people.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a sad story, but yeah.
Yeah,
so
he gets older and older, he just locks himself away.
Yeah.
It also, it can't be underestimated, I think, how badly, like, obviously, the fact that he's boiled down to, like, the Unlucky or the, you know, Dragon's Bane or whatever doesn't make him look that good, but it can't be underestimated how important it was for the realm to have a time of peace now, you know,
in the
wake of this war that, like, lasted actually past some of its like the main people who were fighting it past their deaths.
If Aegon was like crazy and like tried to start another war, I could see the Targaryen dynasty just like dissolving. I do think Aegon gets the credit for just holding things together when they needed to be held.
And actually surviving the Regency in terms of a ruler. Like a lot of regents, a lot of people who are ruled by regents they don't become, because, I mean, regents want to stay in power usually. They're not like, oh, I'm totally here for the good of my future king and my realm, you know? So the fact that he did successfully take power.
Regent would probably suggest something like, hey, wouldn't it be totally cool if you made like a rule that made me like your permanent hand of the king?
Right. Did he kill any of the regents after? I haven't read this in a long time, but
no, I think he just dismissed them.
Yeah, he was pretty like, he's just saying like, I don't need you anymore, and I'm gonna do things my way. But yeah, no, I don't think actually any of them got killed. Not even Peek.
So I give this guy 4 lemon cakes.
3.5.
Yeah, I'm going to agree.
Who we? Aegon the Third.
Aegon the Third. Yeah.
Yeah.
So 4 and 3. Wow. I mean, yes.
Yeah, I'll go with 3.5, 4, okay, maybe. Just for holding it all together after the Dance of the Dragons.
Mm.
Also, okay, do no harm. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, and we have to note that Tanya has gone to sleep. It is now 12:30, half past midnight in where she lives. So, and she's been
sweet
up early.
Sweet dreams, Tanya.
Yeah. Yeah, sad to lose you so soon. I mean, not really lose you, but for tonight.
Clearing that up.
So about an average of 3.5, it seems, for this one. That's the highest score we've gotten this evening. We can just move on to Darren the First. Yeah, he had reigned from 156 AC to 161 AC, so a total of 4 or 4.5 years. Yeah, he was known as the Young Dragon, or the Boy King. His famous words, "You have a dragon. He stands before you."
That's
so,
a pretty good name.
I enjoy that. I'm pretty sure that's how he got his council to follow him into war.
Into a ruinous war.
Yeah, yes. Ruinous war again.
With a country that can like fight in ways that you don't really understand, and has resources that you have exhausted in the recent.
Yeah.
Devastating conflict. Yes. Also, it wasn't even like they went to Dorne because it was like, well, we need resources, so we're going to conquer this place. Like, obviously, that would still be wrong, but like, at least there's like a reasonability there. Like, it was just like,
but he,
Dorne,
he just
we
wanted
want
like this. He wanted like the Seventh Kingdom of the Seven Kingdoms.
Yeah.
He was missing one.
He wanted to be better than Aegon the Conqueror, so he went for Dorne.
Yeah.
He was a completionist.
Yeah, he was a completist collector.
Gotta catch them all. Gotta catch them all. Yeah, so Darren the First, known as the Young Dragon, was the eldest son of Aegon the Third, and the 8th Targaryen to sit the throne. He ascended the throne at age 14 and was famous for conquering Dorne and then losing it quite quickly after.
And dying in the process.
Yes, and dying in the process. He also wrote a book which is seen to be quite eloquently written and very insightful into strategy and stuff. So he was apparently a very brilliant young man and a brilliant strategist. But yeah, he died.
You know how he would have been more brilliant? Growing up.
This was at a point where they really needed him to grow up and then reign for a long time.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, and he did the one thing he didn't do they needed him to do.
Especially, presumably knowing the mental states of the people who might follow him.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Baelor was his brother, right? So.
Yeah, so he lost the war, and he actually died in, like, treachery by the Dornish people. They attacked them under a peace banner, and everyone died except for Aemon the Dragon Knight. He
survived. We should keep in mind that's a tactic that the Dornish have used in the past, I think.
To kill anyone except one?
No, to attack under a peace banner.
Yeah, I don't think they kind of respect the traditions of the rest of the Seven Kingdoms as much.
I think guest right is very much a tradition of the northern areas.
Mm.
Like maybe it's basically a tradition of the first men.
But the so, yeah, but a peace banner isn't the same thing as a guest right.
Well, yes,
well,
but the Dornish are very like viperish, snakish. So you know,
yeah.
That's
and they also and poison. They're notorious for poisoning people, which again is something that Westeros as a whole finds abhorrent. So yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The Dornish basically are like they use every tool at their disposal.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't they don't have like social mores about ways of fighting. You know, they're not like, oh, that's not fair. It's like you won. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's kinda like the theory about rhinoceros beetles, where how they
I did not see it going there.
Really no, but it's essentially how it is. If you have like, there is, you find out that having a bigger horn, larger horn, will help you become more successful as a beetle. But that can only get you so far, and sometimes there will be like a counter move in the evolution, which is using stealth instead, and that's essentially what Dorne needs to do here in this situation, because all the other Seven Kingdoms has a superior force, like a military force than them, and are more trained and everything. I think in a straight out battle, the Dornish would definitely lose in any situation. I mean, unless
yeah.
so they need to use stealth to achieve their goals.
And they're probably also like, you are invading us. We're not going to use your, we're not going to play by your rules.
No.
Just because, like, Dornish on Dornish fighting, maybe they do follow, like, peace banners and stuff. But, maybe. Like, in this type of situation, they're definitely not going to do that.
Maybe, yeah. I mean,
Sun Tzu says, know your enemy in the art of war. And, yeah, Westeros did not know the Dornish. But, like,
yeah.
That was their failing.
So, people of interest. In this chapter, we have Aemon the Dragon Knight being mentioned. I'm not quite sure. Is Aemon the first Aemon that is shot by a poisonous arrow? Is that the same as Aemon the Dragon Knight?
Yes.
He just hasn't been knighted yet when he gets shot by the arrow, I guess.
Yeah.
He's there, and he's a legendary knight of the Kingsguard. There's been written
another sad story.
Yeah.
Wah wah. We also have Lord Lynel Tyrell. If you say that Daeron is such an awesome tactician and strategist, why does he choose a freaking Tyrell to rule them?
I don't understand that either. I mean, they've been in the Tyrells and the Dornish have been in conflict for thousands of years, maybe.
Yeah.
Not the Tyrells exactly, but people from the Reach, like the Cardinals.
Yeah.
They've been in conflict for thousands of years, and he leaves a Tyrell in charge. Of course they're not going to listen to him. Of course they're not going to follow him.
Oh, they're probably going to see it as a slight towards them. Like,
exactly. It's a stupid decision. He should have found somebody, maybe not from Dorne exactly, but somebody from far enough away that it wouldn't be offensive to the Dornish.
Yeah,
no one from the Marcher Mountains, whatever they're called, and yeah, the Reach. That's just, it's a no-brainer.
You know, you should
know your enemy. Your enemy.
Yeah.
So
that's the thing. He didn't like he's. I'll buy that he's, you know, great at tactics, right? Like you play enough chess, play enough whatchamacallit. What's that game called?
Sivas,
yeah. Like, okay, you'll be decent at tactics, but that doesn't mean you know people. And at 14, you're definitely, if you've grown up as a prince, as the heir in the Targaryen keep, you're not going to know people.
No.
Yeah. Okay, so can we talk about the similarities between the young dragon and the young wolf? Because there are a lot of them. I mean, they were both 14 when they started out, like, when they, you know, sort of... So Rob doesn't exactly leave to conquer anything, but that's exactly what he ends up doing eventually.
Yeah.
And his issue is, again, he doesn't really understand the phrase. Just in the same way that Daeron didn't exactly understand the Dornish, right?
Yeah, the difference is that Rob understood his enemies. He didn't understand his allies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. which is kind of this, you know, it's kind of similar.
Yeah, both end in tragedy.
Won every battle, I think.
He won every battle too, just like Darren did.
Yeah.
But he ended up losing, dying anyway.
In treachery.
Yeah, in treachery, exactly.
Yeah, sure, there's similarities there.
And so just as Darren is hailed as like a true dragon, Rob was a true wolf in the same sense.
Yeah. Well, it certainly also helped that he's a warg, Rob.
Right, yeah.
Probably a warg.
He attacked the Lannister forces in his wolf form. And...
Yeah.
There's similarities there. But yeah, essentially, Darren failed because in my opinion, he's not so much he doesn't understand the people. It's more that he's just a terrible diplomat, essentially. Because when you've won an era, you want to consolidate your power by some other measure than holding hostages, saying, hey, you guys, now you can't do anything. Other than that...
Particularly because the small folk of Dorne have a lot of Dornish pride. Okay. And I think it was the small folk who attacked under the peace banner.
Yes.
Because it probably wouldn't have been the lords, because they're the ones with hostages. So, yeah.
Good point.
Excellent.
Maybe, I don't know. That doesn't say, but...
It does, actually.
No, it doesn't say that it was the small folk that attacked under the peace banner. It just said
not under the peace banner, but when they were the ones when Lord Tyrell was going from keep to keep trying to keep the peace, it was the small folk who kept attacking the baggage trains and their camps and everything. So they were the one who basically they were slowly like chipping away.
Yeah, the rebellion was mainly just formed by the small folk, not so much the lords.
Exactly. Maybe they had like the support of the lords.
Yeah.
But obviously the lords couldn't do anything in the open.
It kind of reminds me of Braveheart, kind of the thing where the people who are actually in power, they don't really do anything to begin with because they're afraid, and then after a lot of peasants uprise and they think, "Oh, well, it seems like they're winning. We'll help them then."
It's popular. Let's do it.
So we also have Lord Corrigyle of Sandstone, which is the lord of the keep where Lionel Tyrell meets his final night. Yeah, nothing much to say, but they just mention him as a potential complicit in the assassination of Lionel Tyrell. Do you believe that?
I think so.
I wouldn't put anything past Dornish.
It's your bed with your sash. You know, if people are putting a bunch of scorpions above that, he'd have to know.
He's going to stand there. Hey, what are you guys doing? Nothing. Oh, okay.
Why do you have a giant terrarium of scorpions there? It's like, yeah, nothing.
We're decorating.
Yeah, decorating. Yeah. Oh, okay. Fine. Carry on. He must have been complicit in it. But how about Darren and himself? How many lemniscates would you like to give him?
Darren, maybe one.
Mm.
I'd give him like 2.5. Like,
that's
Yeah, I guess 2. The thing is, he's like you
he's
think of
good
him.
He's a good military strategist. Okay, if he had become king after like a time of peace, if it had been like you know. Very peaceful in the kingdom for a long time, then it would have been fine if he wanted to, you know, add to his, you know, kingdom, go and conquer something like, you know, kings like to do. But he's following like a period of truly terrible war, and he just suddenly ups and decides to go to Dorne instead of ruling his kingdom like he should have.
And it's kind of strange to think of him being raised by Aegon. I mean, obviously, you don't know how much he was like really raised by him, but. Like a father who was so deeply impacted by the war, and then he's just like, "Let's do war."
Yeah,
he's a teenager. He doesn't.
Which so you have I'm to give little... Rob, I guess, a little credit in that the war came to him.
Yeah,
not the other way around.
Yeah.
So I'm a little conflicted about Daron, because I used to initially just think he was an idiot who just made war when for no real reason. But I kind of think that or other people have pointed out that, you know, having Aegon as your father, he was probably seeing the realm waste away a bit. And so maybe, I don't know if this is true, he sort of viewed the war against Dorne as a way to get everyone behind the Targaryens again and show them that, you know, we're not done yet, sort of as a propaganda tool.
So, like a new deal?
Yeah, yeah.
Do war to get on top again?
Yeah.
Military new deal.
It certainly didn't serve him well at the end, in the long run. But yeah, I think there might have been a little more on his brain than we give him credit for. So I'll give him 2.5.
I mean, it's certainly interesting. So just for that, I'll give him 3. So, I mean, and also, he apparently wrote a book that's even now seen to be very insightful and very almost brilliant.
What about war?
The Conquest of Dorne. He wrote a book about it.
When did you have time to do that?
Sorry? One at a time, please.
I'm just saying it was probably written as a diary or something. Like, he wrote it as an event.
Yeah.
And I'm saying I contest the authorship of this book.
you might be right.
But then the problem with that book is the problem with that book is it doesn't really mention how costly the war was in terms of both money and lives.
That's because he died before he can add that.
So as a king, he wasn't going to put all of that in there.
No.
He also exaggerates the numbers. He says that the Dornish were more numerous, so that he comes across as like even better.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I would do that if I was 14 and writing a book. I'd be like, yeah, I totally conquered Dorne. And they were like, they had their own dragons and sandworms, but we killed them all. Yeah. And yeah.
It's kind of, that war was, it's kind of like a guitar. 14-year-old boys now get guitars to get with girls. He just made a war instead. Like,
he should have been married at that point. I mean,
yeah.
He had like 3 beautiful sisters. He should have been married.
it just feels wrong whenever anybody says something like stuff like that.
I know. I had a real moment of dissonance there, and then I was like, "Oh right."
He's 14. He has sisters. Why isn't he married?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
He should have been making babies by now. Okay.
You know, I really don't like him as a king, purely because of an historical parallel in my country. There was a king who also went off to war without an heir and all that, and then got killed in a battle, and Spain conquered the country for like decades. So yeah, that colors my perception of the fictional history, probably.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point.
Yeah, but the thing is, Darren technically has an heir. He has a brother.
Yeah, but if everyone had decided, like, oh, Balon's crazy. Baylor's crazy.
But
we're
then
not.
He had an uncle. He had 2 cousins. Like, it wasn't like there was any shortage of Targaryens at this point.
Well,
he was 18 when he died. He could have married before, even if it wasn't to a relative.
Yeah, if he was going to go to war, I mean, not that an infant king would have been much better, but he should have left a child on the way for sure.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Should have.
I mean, that's what Rob was trying to do.
Yeah, he definitely should have banged one of his sisters.
Agreed.
He had 3, man. He could have just chosen 1. Didn't have to do all of them.
So these are the sisters who get locked in the maiden vault, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Diana the Defiant, and I don't remember the others.
Reyna and Elena.
Hold on.
Yeah.
You would probably prefer to be married to him than to be locked.
Yeah. Actually, I think, yeah, next Saturday I have a podcast. Oh. I'm doing at 7.
Is it Vassals or are you
cheating? No, us? It's a thing for work I'm doing.
You're cheating on us.
I know. I'm actually on like 3 podcasts now. I'm doing an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast that I was like doing.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's called Level 7 Access. They like have had a podcast for a really long time, and then they invited me on as a guest, and then they were like, "You want to just stay?" And I was like, "Okay, sure."
Wait, how do I listen to this one?
Huh?
How do I listen to this?
Here, I'll put the thing in the thingy.
The thing in the thingy. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
I love it when you do that. put the thing.
And the third one is? And the third podcast?
The third one is, I'm doing an episode of, I write for Hypeable.com, so I'm doing an episode of their podcast, Hype. We're talking about Hamilton, the musical.
Mm. Yeah.
Which, if you haven't listened to the music, you really should, because it's quite something.
Yes, I've watched that with a fever. I mean, it's really good.
It's pretty crazy. That show, like, just does not stop being crazy.
I like it.
You think, oh, it's going to stop being crazy now. No, it doesn't stop being crazy.
Yeah. Still think that Fitz and Simmons, I mean, it breaks my heart every time that gets something in the way.
Oh.
Why?
Stretched out maybe a little too much.
Well, I get that Fitz gets a brain damage or something, and that's kind of puts a damper on things. But Fitz
doesn't love him at first. Like, she, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's for another time, maybe.
Yeah.
So thank you for this time. This time, we'll be back soon-ish with Baelor, the First, or the Blessed, or the Crazy, depending on who you are and crazy. how you feel about him.
Yeah. Oh, you poor sad moron.
Yeah.
I mean, so, I was actually talking to you, Patrick. Sorry.
No problem. I want to say thank you to Michal, Michael, Nadia, Joanna, and Tanya, even though she fell asleep pretty quickly after we started. Yeah, thank you, and maybe we'll see each other soon, or listen to each other soon.
Certainly sooner than the time between this and the first podcast.
Definitely.
And by the way, I want to thank Patrick for taking this over, because I just, like, did not have time to go back to the world. I mean, I've been slacking on, like, even more important podcasts. So,
what?
Thank you, Patrick. You
said, what's more important than this?
Yes, I
am. Than vassals.
Well, yeah,
job? Like,
Yes. What do you say? You have a life or something? Other than
No, actually. I will never claim to have a life.
Good. Because you're not allowed to have one.
Oh, hey, Patrick, I forgot to ask, how's the baby?
Oh, he's fine. He's been a little, he's had a cold last week, but he's really, I mean, he's my son, so he's already quite big. Really, he looks like a 2-year-old, but he's only like 7 months old.
Oh, he's going to start moving soon. That'll be like a whole different set of...
We have a cage.
He's right there. Oh, he'll figure out to get out. Don't do what.
Yeah, we'll get him a leash or something then.
They actually have those here for kids. An international thing, but no.
We have leashes everywhere. Yeah, exactly. Everywhere. I mean, I'm pretty...
are not as crazy as, like, apparently my mother used to put me on one. And she gets very upset when people criticize them, because apparently I was like a shy kid, and it gave me like more confidence to like walk around without thinking I was gonna like,
get lost. Got more confidence thinking that you were
from
a dog.
The leash.
Yeah. I'm a dog now. I could just.
Okay, guys, I have to run. Okay. So.
Yeah,
I should go too.
You guys.
You too. Bye, guys. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Good morning, actually.
Bye. Bye.